everyone. I'm FreePod host Alan Wenzel, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's in-depth interview. Recently, FHN in Freeport announced an intent to affiliate with Mercy Health. And today, I'm pleased to welcome Mark Gridley, President and CEO of FHN, to talk with FreePod about the planned affiliation. Welcome, Mark. Thanks for joining us.
It's my pleasure to be able to share, Alan.
Start in this interview is to talk a little bit about the circumstances which led FHN to pursue an affiliation agreement with another health entity. How did all of this come about? Or why did it come about, I guess is the question.
It was a long process, and probably something, if we go back all the way to the Affordable Care Act, we started seeing changes significantly shift in healthcare. And we were able to adapt to those quite well, especially in our surrounding areas. But then we had the impact of the pandemic. And the significant impact that we felt in those couple of years was very lasting. And so we had a number of factors that really drove us into having a conversation about, are we best fulfilling our vision of healthcare excellence for our community? And when we looked at a lot of the macroeconomic, so the larger economic pressures, including decreased reimbursement from insurance payers, as well as inflation or rising costs of providing healthcare, and you couple that with our demographic, where our community tends to be getting a little wiser or a little grayer versus in the other direction.
You mean older, Mark.
and therefore...
I can say that.
usually requiring a few more healthcare services or different types of needs that we would have to be able to provide for the foreseeable future. The other challenge that was just as daunting was workforce shortages. So a shortage of clinicians, physicians, and really staff across the board. There's no surprise to anybody who can do a quick internet search or AI search now, and they'll get tons of articles on healthcare workforce shortages. And so how do we sustain our workforce? How do we continue to fund our operations? And how do we do so in a way that doesn't result in an unwanted reduction or a limitation of services? And so our board was very proactive in having those conversations early on. Mm-hmm. And that's what really drove us to begin some early conversations about what would an affiliation look like. And really the litmus test that we had for that was, would an affiliation allow us to better serve our mission to all the communities in Northwest Illinois than us trying to maintain going alone for an ongoing indefinite mm-hmm. period of time, where we would be forced to make some decisions just from an operational standpoint that may not have best served that interest?
So it sounds like there are a couple of major factors involved here. One, economic, driven by not only changes in the Affordable Health Care Act, or I guess the implementation of that act, but also things like inflation and those less reimbursement for services from insurance companies and from the federal government. And then the second major factor, I hadn't thought about this, Mark, the workforce shortages. And it's tough to find quality healthcare workers anywhere in the country. And so if you're facing those kinds of issues, how are you going to survive as a hospital? It looks like, or as a health network, it looks like you took, your board decided to take this path.
Yeah, I'm very proud of them. They were really proactive. And all of them are individuals that seek care within FHN or at this organization, and their families receive care here. So they really live and breathe their decision making. And they're going to look to the future and what's best, not just for today, but really for generations to come. And we wanted to have that conversation at a time that we were still strong, where we've seen across the United States many rural healthcare hospitals being forced to either join a system that would be willing to take them on, close or restrict services. And so we wanted to get ahead of that and to make sure if we were going to have a conversation, we wanted to be able to have a conversation that allowed us to have choice, mm-hmm. where if we decided it was not in the best interest of the community, we could walk away. And at the same time, while we were still in a position of where we're able to keep our doors open and operate.
Pushing a decision like this out further might only lead to a situation where you have fewer and fewer options. As you mentioned, so many health systems get in trouble by waiting too long to make proactive decisions that would ensure their long-term health, and therefore get caught in a way, and they don't have a lot of the viable options open at that point.
Correct. I think with most people, they'll recognize that if you have a problem, ignoring it doesn't make it any better.
Just like with your health.
Exactly. So we need to make sure we're making those decisions while we're well.
I'd like you to talk a little bit, Mark, about the process you use to seek out and identify someone with whom you could affiliate. And as you said, help carry on your mission for the community without any glitches or step backwards. What process did you use to do that?
It was a really well-defined and disciplined process. So we engaged an investment banker that specialized in mergers and acquisitions in the healthcare space, one that was a very reputable firm and that was nationally known, to have a conversation with our board and really walk us through the process of what this would potentially look like. We had a blueprint laid out of what the steps were to take, what actions that we needed to be ready to execute on, and at the same time, what were the things that we were clearly looking for. So we had a really crystal clear vision on what is it that we wanted out of this affiliation or out of any partnership for our community. And so they helped walk through that, as well as gave us a lot of insight on what was happening across the country. What were some things that were realistic expectations? What were things that were probably not as realistic? And then they also helped us connect with some outstanding legal counsel, some of the best attorneys in the country that work in this space, to be able to represent us as we began this this journey for looking for a partner.
So it sounded like the first thing you did was to get a very clear picture of what you wanted the result to be of an affiliation, what you wanted to have happen, and get all of that clearly identified and clearly in place in your mind, so that when you went out searching for a solution, you could find one that would meet those criteria that your board established for the end product.
Correct. And it was really a highly qualified group that we worked with that started with the education process. And so it was a very, like I said, well-defined and structured process. And as we went through the initial discussions, we identified 10 healthcare systems that we thought may have interest, as well as us having interest in learning more. As we moved through all of those different health systems, we quickly realized that it made sense for systems that were a little bit more contiguous to this geography, or that were connected to this geography, in order to be able to get the benefits of scale and that economies of being partners close by where we could share resources.
Sure.
And so we moved pretty quickly down to 4 systems. We had a chance to meet with those 4 systems, had some in-depth conversation and discussion, and we should be really proud of all of the healthcare that we have in Northwest Illinois. There was not one system that did not have a drive and a willingness to improve the care of our residents. So that was a good place to start. However, we were pretty direct in what we were looking for, and that was not to reduce or to restrict access or to limit what we were doing. In fact, just the opposite, is that we really wanted to talk to systems that were willing to help us grow and expand or enhance healthcare through our communities. We could always make decisions to reduce services on our own. There was one of those systems that just really didn't have the resources to be able to help us. There was a willingness, but again, I think giving them full credit is they had taken on a lot of other distressed hospitals and were helping them and those communities and really didn't have anything they could bring to the table that would be as beneficial for us. And we appreciated that conversation. As I mentioned, one of the other health systems, their goal was to be able to create a streamlined and reduce any redundancies and any overlap in service, which makes sense from a business standpoint, but it doesn't make sense when you're a community member who needs care, or when you have a family, a friend, or a neighbor that doesn't want to drive out of state or doesn't want to drive for an hour to receive care. And so it really brought us down to two strong healthcare systems. And both of them brought some incredible talent to the table. There was a willingness to talk about how do we make things better? What were some of the business plans and the opportunities in the future? And we had really in-depth conversation for quite some time. Ultimately, we ended up choosing Mercy Health. Mm-hmm. And one of the defining factors that Mercy Health was able to bring was really a good business plan about growth and how they could enhance and expand healthcare services, not just within Stephenson County, but throughout all of our service areas, moving all the way to the Mississippi. And we felt that that best fit what we were looking for, someone who could come in and show us how you could do it better than we currently can, and had the financial means to be able to invest. And really that capital commitment is an investment in our geography, in our communities, with the belief that they're going to be a successful organization with our community support, so they can continue to invest and we can continue to grow.
So it sounds like the number one criteria for a successful partner in this affiliation was going to be someone who could help FHN and the community services that are being provided by FHN expand and grow, not to even keep a status quo or to restrict or move backwards, but to move forward. And it sounds like Mercy Health was the one entity that would be able to help you to do that and had the financial means to.
Correct. It was a significant difference in their ability to be able to invest and make that kind of commitment, as well as their connection with community medicine. It was really clear that there was an understanding that what we needed to do is to provide as much healthcare locally as possible so they could really reserve that subspecialty care access and not have their specialty care hospitals being filled with patients that we could easily take care of here close at home. And going back again to our board conversations, it was really that key driver of how do we make it better? And that's the only reason that we had to really make a change, was to be able to see who could bring healthcare sustainability and not only just keep a place open, but actually make it a better place to receive care by improving access to specialists, technology, and that capital investment.
The formal affiliation won't be official until the first of the year. Is that correct? January 1st of 2026?
We're currently on track for that date. There's a few things that have had to happen and that still have to happen. So we're in another due diligence period of really learning a lot more about one another. We were able to conduct a public hearing, and it was important for the Healthcare Facilities Review Board to hear what the community had to say about this proposed affiliation. And that overall went pretty well. The next step is on November 18th, the Healthcare Facilities Services and Review Board will be conducting their regular board meeting where they'll review our application for this change of ownership. And hopefully they will approve that. One of the things they could do is ask for more clarifying information. However, I think we've done a really good job of providing that to them. And then the next steps, we still have a few other regulatory approvals with the Attorney General, and there are some licensing things that we need to get completed. But our goal is to be able to have that all done before December 31st. So that as of January 1, we can technically close and sign the deal.
Can you talk a little bit, Mark, about what the short-term and immediate effects of this affiliation might be for patients who use FHN services? So what will they see immediately or not see, and what will they see long-term, do you think?
Well, in the short term, depending on how you would be able to measure that. So if you say within the first 6 months or within the first year, it's really a long journey to have two organizations coming together.
Oh, sure.
And generally that process is going to take anywhere from 12 to 18 months. There's a lot of work on the back end that we have to do, which means we have to adopt a new information technology system structure. We have to put in a new electronic health record. All of those things take a significant amount of time. So the short term, I don't see our community seeing really any disruption or any significant
changes. No changes. Yeah, that would be of note.
Correct. Mm-hmm. I know there was a lot of questions about insurance coverage, mm-hmm. and this is an affiliation. And what's different about an affiliation in a nonprofit environment is really Mercy Health is taking on the governance and the decision-making authority for the organization. But all of our current contracts with all of the existing insurers are still valid and in place and continue to be so throughout the beginning of the year. How long will that stay? Is that's dependent upon whether they would get renegotiated, which we do on a regular basis mm-hmm. anyways. It just isn't very much out there in the marketplace. So that will continue to stay as is. Still seeing the same physicians, nurse practitioners, and caring staff that you always have. Some things that may change in the short term a little quicker is access to Mercy Health specialists coming out here and providing services.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So that's one of the things that we wanted to be able to accelerate as well. And then I think as we get closer to fall, there'll probably be some more changes. But those are still takes a lot of planning and discussion on what that might be. And I know that Mercy Health is looking at where they want to continue to invest. So when we look at our surrounding areas, it was very much an area that they're interested in supporting all of our rural communities.
I was going to ask you about that, about your satellite locations and what will happen to those spots.
Our goal is to be able to expand those and to be able to enhance those locations to try and make sure that those communities are being serviced the best that they can. One of the challenges that we've had for many years is being able to invest in infrastructure. So whether that be digital X-ray equipment, whether that be new clinic locations, we've always wanted to be able to invest more into the surrounding communities. Financially, that's just been prohibitive. And now with this affiliation, we have somebody who has the ability to be able to do that investment. And the idea, once again, when you make an investment, you want to see it grow. And so there is a full commitment to watch that grow throughout all of our surrounding communities. And our discussion with Mercy Health was, again, not just about FHN Memorial Hospital or Freeport, but it was our entire Northwest Illinois geography and what value.
Mount Carroll, Stockton,
absolutely.
I call them satellite offices, but all those other locations, which are
really
part of the
east
FHN
of the Mississippi,
system.
East mm-hmm. of the Mississippi, west of Rockford mm-hmm. is what we're looking at and trying to enhance that.
I was going to ask you, and to the extent that you can, I know that you don't have all the details figured out. Mercy Health has indicated they'd like to commit $100 million over the next 5 years to FHN for growth and expansion. You mentioned some possibilities, expanding some of the outside Freeport locations. Are there any other things that you might be able to identify as investment opportunities for Mercy Health?
Oh, certainly. Well, one of the big things that I think is a win for our community, our cancer center just celebrated 30 years of taking care mm-hmm. of our friends, family, and neighbors. And we've been working on a fundraising campaign for some time to replace our linear accelerator, which is a very expensive piece of equipment. And while we were able to raise a significant amount of dollars, we just weren't there yet. Mm-hmm. But now Mercy Health mm-hmm. coming in is going to be able to help us finish off that campaign so we can get a new linear accelerator, state of the art, to make sure that we keep up with our outstanding cancer care and keep that as the latest and greatest for all of the people we serve. We're also looking at an investment in a Da Vinci robotic surgery,
sure.
Which is, again, very high-end, expensive type of equipment. But in order to attract some of the most talented surgeons, and whether that be general surgery, urology, or other areas, that's where people have been doing their training, gynecology, as they're coming out of school now, is that they've been very well versed on robotics and using that in surgery. And so we'll be able to have that here locally to be able to offer. So there's a number of other items that, you know, we're looking for, and probably some of the things that are just not as exciting for people. For us to replace an elevator, it costs about $250,000. And so the money goes pretty quickly, and you know, we want to make sure that we have a safe place for patients to receive care. But again, staying on top of the latest technological trends for healthcare.
I'd like to ask you another question, Mark. At the public hearing, I know that a representative from Mercy Health talked about the excitement that they had for being able to bring their staff as part of their teaching. They're a teaching hospital. They work with university medical schools for some of their care, and their ability and willingness and excitement about bringing some of that to Freeport. Can you elaborate on that just a little bit? What would that mean for us by this affiliation with Mercy Health to be able to bring in, as you mentioned earlier, specialists who maybe aren't available to us currently through FHN, but even some of the teaching hospital aspects, I think are very interesting.
They have several residency programs in different areas of medicine, and then also some fellowship training or program opportunities. And what that does is it allows for our team to get involved more with academia, the most current, latest, greatest teaching methodologies, as well as get some of those talented people going through that training. And our goal is not only to have them provide care while they're doing their training, but ultimately fall in love with our community and want to stay. So
wouldn't
it helps,
that be nice?
It really helps with that pipeline. Wow. And when we talk about that workforce shortage, that's one of the key opportunities, is to be able to make people feel comfortable in their training process, that they're well supported, and again, make them feel like this is home. And I think that's one of the strengths that we bring within our community.
Mm-hmm. And to be able to invite, in a sense, practitioners, medical practitioners to our community to work, even on a trial basis, might mean some good long-term relationships with that doctor and his community.
And short-term, because that provides us with some enhanced coverage, some enhanced access.
True.
One of the areas that Mercy Health is very renowned in is their trauma services. So that's another part of being able to expand trauma services. And Mercy Health has been very open in that we need to help support our rural EMS. We need to make sure that our patient transport times are going to be second to none, because those seconds do matter, and that's life-saving care. So the enhanced trauma services, the enhanced coverage, there's just a lot of wins across the board for this affiliation.
It sounds like overall Mercy Health checked the boxes for you and the board in finding a partner that would really help not only expand and grow, but improve even more than what we've been able to do in previous years, the healthcare in Northwest Illinois. And it sounds like Mercy Health fits that bill.
We're hoping so. They certainly have a huge potential, and we did an incredible amount of due diligence. We were very disciplined in our approach, and I'm confident that we picked the best partner for this area. I think it's going to be really exciting to see what kind of things are coming our way.
So what's next, Mark? It'll be some state approval kinds of things, and then it's some backroom kinds of activities with systems and getting everything coordinated, and you're off and running.
We're hoping so. There's a lot to still get done. We have well over 1,000 caregivers and families that we continue to work with and to serve as our employees, as our team. And so we want to make sure that, along with our medical staff and our providers, that that transition goes as well as possible. And Mercy Health has been very accommodating and, you know, wanting to retain that workforce, because they understand there's those shortages as well. But it creates a lot of change. And so we want to make sure that that change is done well versus being done fast. And so we want to take that same kind of measured approach to make sure this is successful for everybody.
One last question. The name of FHN will go away, will be absorbed. What will be the name of the new organization, Mark?
The new organization is currently slated to be Mercy Health, FHN. Okay. And Mercy Health was very sensitive to wanting to maintain the strength of the FHN brand. It's been an organization certainly very well known throughout this community for many years, with roots going back well over 120 years. And that's something to be proud of. You know, it's a legacy that Mercy Health is taking on and wanting to continue. So it's the new and the exciting, the expansion, the growth of healthcare through Mercy Health, but then also the honoring of a legacy of so many people at FHN, and have made it just a wonderful organization, not only to receive care, but also to provide care at.
and appreciating that history that FHN has had in the communities, Freeport and the surrounding communities, a wonderful history. And to be able to preserve that in some way, I think, is really a tribute to Mercy Health and their willingness to partner and make good things happen for us.
Exactly. Their intention, again, has just been overwhelmingly positive. They came into this area and they said, we see potential. How do we help to build on that potential? How do we all become stronger together? And we certainly bring a value to the existing Mercy Health footprint. Basically, now Mercy Health is going to be from Lake County all the way to almost the Mississippi. So that's a pretty wide geography, but that brings a lot of opportunity for people as well and a stronger healthcare system overall.
None of the 10 that you originally identified as possible affiliates would even have been interested in FHN had it not been a strong, stable organization in this, you know, with its current leadership and with all of the services that have been provided over the years. We wouldn't have even been of interest to anyone had we not been a good organization to begin with.
We had a lot to be proud of. And when we first went to market, as they call it, is we went to markets in a significantly stronger position than a lot of healthcare systems do. Mm-hmm. And that put mm-hmm. us in a much better place to have those conversations about what was important to us, what kind of things we wanted to make sure we kept, that we made sure we were able to protect through that conversation. And, you know, quite frankly, it allowed us to be a bit more selective.
Sure. You were having conversations from a position of strength. In many ways, rather than one of weakness. And I think that would be a real plus for you in the conversations.
Again, I give credit to the board. It was a very, very difficult decision to actually move forward with because of there was a lot of emotion and sentimentality.
I bet.
But as wise stewards and as caring individuals, I would have it no other way. I was relieved that it was a difficult process for them, and it just affirmed their intellect and their long-term vision and
concern for the community,
their true commitment, understanding that this isn't always something that you want to do with change, but it's for the best.
Mark, as we close the interview, and thank you again for spending so much time with us this afternoon. Do you have any final thoughts, Mark, for our listeners, for the Freepod listeners, that you'd like to share with us?
A few things to help keep updated. We are trying to get information on our website at fhn.org.
Okay.
And there's a frequently asked question list that we plan on updating. So there's a lot of questions about the affiliation, and we want to try and get information out that way so it's a resource for people.
Oh, good. So just go to the FHN.org website.
Correct.
Frequently asked questions, put in your question, and you get an answer.
Well, there's a list of questions.
Oh, a list of questions. Okay.
And there's a WeCare line or link that you can submit questions to. But we're trying to keep those updated with information as able as we can. There's still a lot that we're learning and answers that we don't have completely worked out yet.
But sure.
We're committed to continue to do that. Mm-hmm. So I want the community to feel like they can be informed and understand what's going on with this process overall. The other piece that I would ask for our listeners to be able to do is to support the change. With all change, there's good and there's also bad. Overall, I think there's going to be much more good and it's going to outweigh any of the perceived negatives. But it would be naive to say that there aren't going to be things sure. that some people are not going to be as happy about. Mm-hmm. But by far and away, there's a bigger opportunity here, and they should be happy about what we're doing to preserve healthcare in our community. So part of supporting that change is also going to be supporting the new Mercy Health FHN. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we've done in our geography is we've been very neutral with working with all other healthcare systems. Mm-hmm. Now becoming part of a larger healthcare system, the more successful Mercy Health FHN is, the more investment and the more opportunity that we can provide here locally. So please help support us.
Again, Mark, thanks for your time. And we look forward to learning more about this exciting new venture for the community as time goes on. And undoubtedly, we'll sit down and have another conversation here in a few weeks or a few months.
the affiliation progresses closer to completion and implementation. Mark, thanks so much for your time. And listeners, thank you for listening to this in-depth interview for FreePod, reminding you that our interviews drop every Tuesday at noon and our regular weekly podcasts drop every Thursday at noon. Again, thanks for listening, and we'll see you down the road. Thank you.